And everyone, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk. My name is Michael Lindemann, and we are brought to you by the Tilted Kilt Frederick. Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilted Kilt Girls, where today, on Halloween, the Tilted Kilt Girls are dressed up in Halloween costumes, and of course, they are doing a Caps viewing for tonight's game. For more information on the Tilted Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And ladies and gentlemen, like I said in the beginning, it is Halloween today. It is the day where everyone gets to dress up and have fun and get some free candy. I know I will be going trick-or-treating later tonight before the Caps game. And speaking of the Capitals, we are going to hop right into it. Because on October 28th, the Washington Capitals played the Pittsburgh Penguins on Wednesday night rivalry night on NBC Sports Network. The lineup for the Washington Capitals was Ovechkin with Kuznetsov and Oshie, Johansson with Backstrom and Williams, Chimera with Beagle and Wilson, Like with Stevenson and Burakovsky, with your defensive pairings being Orpik with Carlson, Alzner with Niskanen, Orlov with Chorney, and Braden Holtby as the starting goaltender. And as we go into the first period, it was a very penalty-filled period for the Washington Capitals, starting off at 6:09 when Chandler Stevenson was called for elbowing. Then immediately after that, at 6:24, Brooks Orpik was called for boarding, leading the Caps to be down 5-3. Then at 8:28, as soon as the 5-on-3 was over, Carl Alzner was called for high sticking. At the end of the period, it was Pittsburgh nothing, Washington nothing. Shots were 14-13 in favor of Pittsburgh. Hits were 18-11 in favor of Washington. Faceoffs were 15-12 in favor of Pittsburgh. And the Penguins were 0-3 on the power play, while the Capitals had none. Analysis of the first period was, the first period was a very interesting one. It had physicality from both sides and some really good scoring opportunities. Washington needs to stay out of the box and continue creating opportunities like they did in the first when they were on 5-on-5. Because 5-on-5, the Capitals were better than the Penguins. Then, going into the second period, which was another penalty-filled game period, starting off at 7:21 when Christopher Letang of the Pittsburgh Penguins was called for slashing. Then at 10:53, David Perron was called for charging, followed by Quince Delaminers at 19:39 between Ian Cole and Tom Wilson, both called for roughing. The end of the second, it was still nothing-nothing between Washington and Pittsburgh. The shots were 27-18 Washington, where Washington outshot Pittsburgh 14-4 in the second period. Washington outhit Pittsburgh 30-20. However, Pittsburgh won more faceoffs 28-21. On the power play, the Penguins were still 0-3, and Washington was 0-2. It was another physical period between the Capitals and Penguins. The plus for the Caps this period was they were able to stay out of the penalty box, and they caused the Penguins to take two penalties. The Caps looked more solid on their power plays than the Penguins did in the first period. Also, by staying out of the penalty box, the Caps were able to play their game, which saw them outshoot the Penguins 14-4. And then, of course, the third period, at 1:28, Evgeny Kuznetsov scored his fourth goal of the season, assisted by Carl Alzner, his first assist of the season, at 1:28. But then, 24 seconds later, Pittsburgh tied it up on a goal by Bo Bennett, his second of the season, which was assisted by Nick Bonino and Olli Maatta. Then at 3:49 into the third period, Pittsburgh got back on the board again when Phil Kessel scored his fourth goal of the season, assisted by Evgeny Malkin and David Perron. And then Ian Cole was called for interference at 9:45, and then due to some miscommunication between Barry Trotz and Braden Holtby when it came to pulling the goalie, Pittsburgh was able to score on an empty net by Nick Bonino, his second of the season, which was unassisted. Pittsburgh eventually won the game 3-1. Shots were 34-25 Washington, hits 37-24 Washington. Faceoffs, Pittsburgh won 35-28, and both teams were 0-3 on the power play. The fast start to the third period was great for the Caps to get on the board, but it was also their doom. 24 seconds after getting the first goal of the game from Evgeny Kuznetsov, the Penguins scored two quick ones in less than 2 minutes to take the lead. An eventual empty net goal would seal the Caps' fate and end their 5-game winning streak. Marc-Andre Fleury stood on his head, stopping 33 out of 34 shots, and with the anemic defense the Pens had, they did a great job sticking to the system put before them by coach Mike Johnston. Also for the Caps, they need to simplify their game and do fewer passes and shoot when the shot is there. There are too many opportunities where you're coming down, you get the pass, you're wide open, you're on the faceoff circle in the zone. Just shoot it. Because if everyone's in where they're supposed to be and there's a rebound, you're going to get a rebound opportunity. You're going to get score opportunities on that rebound. Or you're just going to score when you just shoot the puck. And the guys who are creating these opportunities are very capable of shooting the puck right off the bat and getting it in the net. So, need to simplify, need to make it, you know, shoot more, pass less. You know, you can't always look for the pretty play. That was probably one of the things that was the downfall for the Caps, was the fact that, you know, they looked to pass too much. So, with that, we are going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to be doing the NWHL report. Want some pre-Thanksgiving fun? Then come to VA Comic Con at the Richmond Raceway on November 21st and 22nd. Come see special guests like Bob Gale, the creator of Back to the Future, Marina Sirtis, who is from Star Trek The Next Generation, Trina Nishimura from Attack on Titan, and Walter Jones from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, and of course, many, many more. For more information on the big two-day show, please visit vacomiccon.com. That's vacomiccon.com. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for the Serious Hockey Fan. Now we are going to be doing the NWHL report, which is brought to you by DerbyCon. DerbyCon, which is December 4th through 6th at the Hyatt Morristown in Morristown, New Jersey. Come see special guests like Karel Strukin, Richard Hatch, Michael H. Hansen, and many others. For more information, please visit DerbyCon.com. And now, going into the NWHL report, they had two games on October 25th. First game being the Boston Pride at the Buffalo Buttes. Brianna Decker of the Pride scored the first hat trick in NWHL history, notching 3 goals in the Pride's 5-3 win over the Buttes in Buffalo. Decker's first goal came at the 1:04 mark of the first period. Then she scored her second of the game at 14:12 of the second period to give Boston a 3-1 lead. And then she capped off the hat trick by scoring her third goal of the game with 31 seconds left in the game by scoring on an empty net. Kelly Steedman would score 2 goals for Buffalo in the losing effort, while Brianne McLaughlin made 43 saves. Shots on goal for Boston was 48 to Buffalo's 28. The power play, Boston had 2 power play goals on 5 opportunities, while Buffalo had 0 out of 4. In the first period alone, Boston outshot Buffalo 19-6, and Boston was awarded the penalty shot in the second period but did not convert on the penalty shot. Boston would win the game 5-3, with the 3 stars being the first star, Paige Harrington, defenseman of the Buffalo Buttes, second star, Kelly Steedman, forward of the Buffalo Buttes, and Brianna Decker would be the 3rd star, who is the forward for Boston Pride. And then the second game on October 25th was the Connecticut Whale at the New York Riveters. In a tightly contested game, Kaylee Fratkin's 3rd period goal was the difference in the Whale's 3-1 victory over New York. Alyssa Wolfire scored a power play goal, and Kelly Babstock scored an empty netter for Connecticut. While Ashley Johnston tallied the only Riveters goal in the second period, Nicole Stack made her NWHL debut, with the Whale making 23 saves on 24 shots and having a .958 save percentage. Nana Fujimoto made 17 saves on 20 shots for the Riveters. Connecticut would win 3-1 over the Riveters. Shots were 24-20 for the Riveters. Power play, the Connecticut Whale scored 2 on 4 opportunities, and the Riveters converted 1 out of 5. For the 3 stars, it was Kaylee Fratkin at number 1 for the Connecticut Whale. Nicole Stock, goaltender for Connecticut Whale, was number 2, and Ashley Johnston of the New York Riveters was the 3rd star of the game. Then, now for NWHL news and notes. On October 29th, Brianna Decker was named NWHL Player of the Week. The National Women's Hockey League announced that Boston Pride forward Brianna Decker has been named the Player of the Week. Decker notched the first hat trick in NWHL history, netting 3 goals in the Pride's 5-3 win at Buffalo this past Sunday afternoon. Decker now leads the league in goals with 5 and points with 7. For the standings, coming in number one is the Boston Pride at 3-0-0 with 6 points and a plus 11 goal differential. Then at second on the league is the Connecticut Whale, who is also 3-0-0 with 6 points but with a plus 8 goal differential. Then at third is the Buffalo Buttes at 0-3-0 with 0 points and a negative 8 goal differential. And at last in the division and league is the New York Riveters at 0-3-0 at 0 points with a negative 11 goal differential. Next up for the NWHL, on Sunday, November 15th, the NWHL returns from their Four Nations tournament break with a pair of great matchups. At 3:30 p.m., the Connecticut Whale visits the Buffalo Buttes at the Harbor Center. The Buttes, along with the Food Bank of Western New York, will be collecting coats and non-perishable food items for that game. And at 7 p.m., the Boston Pride visit the New York Riveters at the Aviator Sports and Events Center. The Riveters will be sporting camouflage jerseys to honor past and present members of America's military. After the game, the signed game-worn sweaters will be available for auction, with 50% of the proceeds going to Defending the Blue Line, who I have actually had the opportunity to do a little bit of donating to them as well in the past. For more information on the NWHL, visit nwhl.co. And for game stats, visit hockeyshift.com or download the Hockey Shift app today for all your NWHL game stats information. And with that, we are going to go to break. The Experience Hockey Talk is brought to you by DerbyCon. DerbyCon, which is December 4th through 6th at the Hyatt Morristown in Morristown, New Jersey. Come see special guests like Karel Strukin, Richard Hatch, Michael H. Hansen, and many others. For more information, please visit DerbyCon.com. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for the Serious Hockey Fan. I'm Michael Lindenbaum, and as always, we're brought to you by the Tilted Kilt in Frederick, Maryland. And now we're going to jump right back into the NHL with the Washington Capitals game last night, October 30th, against the Columbus Blue Jackets. The lineup for the Washington Capitals was Ovechkin with Kuznetsov and Oshie, Johansson with Backstrom and Williams, Chimera with Beagle and Wilson, Andrei Burakovsky, Brooks Like, and Michael Latta comprised of your fourth line. Orpik and Carlson were your first pairing defensemen, with Alzner and Niskanen as the second pairing, and your third pairing was Dmitry Orlov, with Nate Schmidt and Braden Holtby was the starter. In the first period, Columbus started off the game by taking a penalty at 10:13 when Matt Calvert was called for hooking. Then at 12:47, Tom Wilson of the Caps was called for hooking as well. Then at 18:32, Matt Calvert was called again, but this time for tripping. Now, before I go on, as you noticed in the early part of this episode when I talked about the Penguin game, I actually got to watch the Penguin game. So I was able to do analysis and break down stats and all this other stuff. I didn't get to see the Columbus Caps game because, unfortunately, I was out of town. Well, not really out of town, but down in Alexandria recording NBM Wrestling. It's one of the downsides of being on 3 podcasts, not going to be able to watch every game that you'd like to watch. So I'm able to at least give you the breakdowns of the periods in regards to penalties and goals, and then I can break down the end of the game and give analysis. But going forward with this one, I just want you all to know I didn't watch it, and you know I try to watch all the games when I can, but sometimes there's other things that are in the schedule that make me not able to watch. So moving on to the second period, Washington scored at 14:16. Goal by Justin Williams, his second of the season, for Marcus Johansson, who got his fourth assist of the season, and Carl Alzner, who got his second assist of the season. Then Tom Wilson was called for holding at 14:28, which is about 8 seconds after 12 seconds after the Justin Williams goal. Then in the third period, Brooks Orpik was called for delay of game at 3:52, and then at 11:59, TJ Oshie scored his fourth goal of the season, assisted by Nicklas Backstrom, his fourth of the season, and Alex Ovechkin, his fifth assist of the season. Then at time that I forgot to write down, Columbus' goal was scored by Matt Calvert, his first of the season, assisted by Boone Jenner and Kevin Connaughton, which were both their first assists of the season. And I will get to the Columbus goal to talk about the coach's challenge in a moment. Washington won the game 2-1. Shots were 30-28 for Columbus. 29-28 were the faceoffs for Columbus as well. Hits, the Caps outhit the Columbus Blue Jackets by 1 with 19 to their 18. And on the power play, Columbus was 0-3, where the Capitals were 0-2. Now, my analysis for the game is that this was a good bounce-back game for the Caps. After losing to the Penguins on Wednesday night, the Caps needed to respond, and respond they did. In the second period, the Caps took advantage of a giveaway, and Justin Williams scored his second goal of the season as a result. Then in the third period, it was a very nice tic-tac-toe passing play that gave TJ Oshie his fourth of the season and the game-winning goal for the Caps. Now for the Columbus goal, and I alluded to this earlier. After watching replays of the goal from different angles that are available, I feel that the goal could have been waved off, but at the same time, with some angles, it looked like the Blue Jackets player was pushed into Holtby. So in all honesty, it could have gone either way, but regardless, the Washington Capitals got the win, and that's all that matters. Then, going into the week ahead, today, Halloween, October 31st, the Washington Capitals are in Florida to take on the Florida Panthers, who are currently 5-4-1. Then on Tuesday, November 3rd, they go visit the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden, who are currently 7-2-2 as of this recording today. And then on Thursday, 11-5, the Washington Capitals are at home against the Boston Bruins, who are currently, as of today's recording, are 5-3-1. And with that, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to have news and notes around the NHL. And till then, we'll be back.
Hey, this is Tilted Goat Girl Holly. Looking for a place to watch the Capitals take on the Florida Panthers on Halloween? Then come to the Tilted Goat Pub and Eatery at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come cheer on the cast with the world-famous Tilted Goat Girls, who will be dressed up in their favorite Halloween costumes to celebrate Halloween. For more information on the Tilted Goat Frederick, visit them today on Facebook.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for a Serious Hockey Fan. As always, we're brought to you by the Tilted Kilt in Frederick, Maryland. I'm Michael Lindenbaum, and this is now News and Notes. And on October 24th, the Boston Bruins unveiled their 2016 NHL Winter Classic jersey. The crest itself is a takeoff of the original Bruins jersey, where the striping is another thing from one of the other original jerseys that they used to wear in their past. Plus, the neckline is more like a sweater from when the jersey was like an actual sweater. And yes, we still do call the NHL jerseys sweaters. So it is a good tribute to what they used to look like and technically what they really are called. Also, on October 24th, the Philadelphia Flyers' Michael Raffel received medical attention on the bench. Philadelphia Flyers forward Michael Raffel sustained an upper body injury on Saturday against the New York Rangers after taking an accidental elbow to the head from Jarrett Stahl. Play was delayed while Raffel received medical attention and then taken to the back for further evaluation. Now, the elbow that Jarrett Stahl accidentally threw at Michael Raffel is the exact same elbow that Jason Demers threw at Nick Bonino, the Pittsburgh Penguins. They're exactly the same. Both are not suspendable, but yet Demers got suspended for 2 games for his elbow to the head of Nick Bonino, the Penguins, whereas Jarrett Stahl did not get suspended at all, didn't even get talked to at all in regards to his elbow to Michael Raffel. So the biggest question out of this is that if you're going to suspend one guy about it, you should suspend the other guy. It has to go the same way. You know, one gets suspended, the other gets suspended. Not this guy gets suspended because of this, and this guy doesn't get suspended when it's the same freaking thing. So that's just a little gripe that I have. We need a little bit more consistency with the suspensions. If you're going to do it one way, you got to do it the same way throughout with the same thing. Then, also on October 24th, Price and the Canadiens continue a record-setting start. Carey Price made a season-high 49 saves, including 21 in the second period, to help the Canadiens improve to 9-0-0, their best start in the franchise's 98-year NHL history. Then that same night, Crawford Taves got the Blackhawks in Stanley Cup rematch. Corey Crawford made 21 saves, and Jonathan Taves scored the lone goal 17 seconds into overtime to lift the Blackhawks past the Lightning in their first meeting since Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals. And I have to say, I got to catch that overtime period for Chicago and Tampa, and Jonathan Taves was just went into beast mode on that. He took the puck, he went in, he drove it to the net, he got his rebound, and he scored as a result. Good individual effort by Jonathan Taves. Now, so that same night, the Blue Jackets win their first game of the season and under John Tortorella, trailing 3-2 after 40 minutes. Ryan Murray and Brandon Dubinsky scored less than 3 minutes apart to propel the Blue Jackets to their first victory of the 2015-16 season. This also marked the first victory for John Tortorella as head coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets. On October 25th, Philadelphia Flyers placed goalie Michael Neuwirth on injured reserve due to an upper body injury suffered on 10/21 against the Bruins. Neuwirth is listed as day-to-day. Flyers also announced forward Sean Couturier and Michael Raffel are also listed as day-to-day due to upper body injuries. Also on October 25th, Florida Panthers center Alexander Barkov has a broken hand and will not be out indefinitely, according to the Sun Sentinel in South Florida. Barkov sustained the injury when he was hit in the hand by a puck during a game against the Chicago Blackhawks on 10/22. Then on October 26th, Sabres announced Kane to miss 4 to 6 weeks with knee injury. Buffalo Sabres will be without forward Evander Kane for the next 4 to 6 weeks due to an injured MCL in his left knee. The injury will not require surgery. Kane sustained the injury during the third period of the 4-3 loss to the New Jersey Devils on 10/24. And on October 26th, the NHL named their three stars of the week for the week ending October 25th, with your first star being Evgeny Kuznetsov, center of the Washington Capitals. Kuznetsov paced the NHL with 6 assists and 9 points, and also shared the league lead with a +5 rating as the Capitals won all three of their games. Second star of the week was Andrei Markov, defenseman of the Montreal Canadiens. Markov shared the first among defensemen with 1 goal, 5 assists for 6 points as the Canadiens won all three of their contests to extend the franchise's best start in its 98-year NHL history. And then the third star was Jonathan Quick, goaltender of the Los Angeles Kings. Quick posted a 2-0-0 record with a 1.0 goals against average and a 0.971 save percentage, and one shutout as the Kings extended their winning streak to 5 games. Quick stopped all 40 shots he faced to pick up his 38th career shutout in a 3-0 victory over the Carolina Hurricanes on 10/23. And on 10/26, Devils Ruutu out 4 to 6 weeks with a fractured foot. New Jersey Devils right winger Tuomo Ruutu is expected to be out 4 to 6 weeks with a fracture in his right foot. Ruutu had missed the previous 4 games. The Devils noted that the fracture did not show up initially. Then on 10/26, the Red Wings announced that Mike Green would be out for 2 to 3 weeks due to an upper body injury. Red Wings general manager Ken Holland said on Monday, Green was injured in the first period against the Calgary Flames on 10/23. Also on 10/26, New York Islanders defenseman Thomas Hickey is expected to miss at least 1 month because of a lower body injury. Hickey, who sustained the injury during a 3-2 overtime win at the St. Louis Blues on 10/24, missed the first 4 games of the season because of a lower body injury sustained in a preseason game September 28th. And then going into some games on October 26th, deja vu for the Blackhawks. Corey Crawford earned a shutout and Jonathan Toews scored in overtime again for the second consecutive game to lead the Chicago Blackhawks past the Anaheim Ducks in their first game since the Western Conference Final, a 7-game series victory by Chicago that featured 3 overtime games. Also that night, Max Domi, whose father Ty Domi played 12 seasons for the Toronto Maple Leafs, scored 6:31 into his first NHL game at the Air Canada Center to help the Arizona Coyotes improve to 9-1-1 in their past 11 games against the Maple Leafs dating to January 14, 2006. And speaking of Max Domi, he was pranked by his teammates. The Coyotes pranked Domi by letting him skate around the ice by himself for 33 seconds at the start of warm-ups. And sometimes we always see something like that when it comes to homecomings for players. We saw Stamkos do it in Montreal, and I think LeCavalier got to do it in Montreal. So it's a nice little thing to see guys do and prank the other guys too, especially when they're a rookie. On October 27th, it is the 20th anniversary of the Russian Five's debut in the NHL. On October 27th, 1995, the Detroit Red Wings deployed forwards Sergei Fedorov, Igor Larionov, Vladislav Kozlov, and defensemen Vladimir Konstantinov and Vyacheslav Fetisov, who became known as the Russian Five, against the Calgary Flames, and helped Detroit score two of their three goals. This game marked the beginning of a new era in the NHL as to how the game would be played. And of course, Sergei Fedorov going into the Hockey Hall of Fame this year. On October 27th, Sergei Gonchar has joined the Pittsburgh Penguins coaching staff as a defenseman development coach. Sergei Gonchar enjoyed a 20-year career in the NHL, which started with the Washington Capitals during the 1994-95 season. On October 27th, Anaheim Ducks center Ryan Getzlaf is expected to be silent for the 12 days due to an appendectomy. Ducks announced that he will have the surgery on 10/28. Getzlaf has had discomfort intermittently over the past 6 weeks, which prompted the surgery, and also could have been a good reason as to why he hadn't been playing well up to that point. And then in regards to games on October 27th, two noteworthy ones. The first one being the Canadiens' historic winning streak was halted. The Vancouver Canucks jumped to an early 3-0 lead, powered by two goals from rookie Jared McGann, to halt a four-game slide and handed the Montreal Canadiens their first loss of the season, ending Montreal's record-setting season-opening winning streak at 9 games. Then also that night, trailing 3-0 after the first period, the Dallas Stars scored 4 unanswered goals, 3 of them set up by captain Jamie Benn, and the game-winning tally off the stick of Antoine Roussel, with 1:28 remaining in regulation to rally past the Anaheim Ducks and improve to 7-2-0. On October 28th, the St. Louis Blues gave veteran forwards Martin Havlat and Dana Zubras professional tryouts. Both Havlat and Zubras will have 10 days to earn a contract to play for the Blues for the rest of the season. Then on 10/29, Calgary Flames recalled goalie Kerry Ramo from the AHL affiliate, the Stockton Heat. Ramo's call-up is a result of goalie Jonas Hiller sustaining a lower body injury in the third period against the Ottawa Senators on 10/28, which yesterday they announced looks like he'll only be out a week. Also on 10/29, the Oilers' young guns stunned the Canadiens. Down 3-0 after 20 minutes, the Edmonton Oilers scored 4 unanswered goals, 2 by Leon Draisaitl, including the game-winning goal at 18:58 of the third period to snap a 3-game skid. Also on October 29th, Jeff Zatkov made a career-high 50 saves, including 23 in the third period, to lead the Pittsburgh Penguins to victory against the Buffalo Sabres. One of the heartwarming moments of this game was when early in the game, Sabres head coach Dan Bylsma, who was returning to Pittsburgh for the first time as a coach, tossed a puck to a kid in the crowd, but an adult snatched the puck away from the child. Thanks to fans on social media and Bob Airy on the Penguins broadcast, the Penguins awarded the young kid with a Sidney Crosby jersey, and Bylsma threw another puck to the kid, which an usher made sure got to the kid. Good on the Penguins, good on Bylsma. That's definitely made that kid's night, and that's one of the great things about hockey, in my opinion, how hockey gives back to the community like that. And then on October 30th, last night, first career hat-tricks for Zuccarello and Daniel Weiss. New York Rangers forward Matt Zuccarello scored his first career hat-trick to lead the Rangers to a 3-1 victory over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Zuccarello, a native of Oslo, Norway, became the second Norwegian-born player in NHL history to score a hat-trick. The other is Espen Knutsen, who, as a member of the Columbus Blue Jackets, recorded a hat-trick against the San Jose Sharks on January 24th, 2002. And then Montreal Canadiens forward Dale Weiss recorded his first career hat-trick as the Canadiens defeated the Calgary Flames 6-2, which got them back on their winning ways. And of course, also last night, the Boston Bruins opened the scoring with 3 consecutive goals, including 2 by Brad Marchand, and defeated the Florida Panthers 3-1. Extending their point streak to 6 games, the Bruins also improved the 4-0-0 on the road this season. And with that, I'm going to go to a quick break. Ever interested in meeting your favorite athletes or celebrities, or looking for that right memorabilia for your collection? Then come to the CSA Shows in Chantilly, Virginia. For more information, go to csashows.com. Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for the Serious Hockey Fan. Michael speak. And as always, just wanted to do a closing thought before I wrapped up today's episode. Like I had mentioned during the Columbus Caps breakdown, I wasn't able to watch the game last night because I was in Alexandria, Virginia, recording MBM Wrestling. You know, I am part of three podcasts. I have The Experience, which is my convention-based podcast, which will soon be covering VA Comic-Con November 21st and 22nd. And, of course, I'll also be doing some panels there. And then also, December 4th through 6th is DerpyCon, which I will be there on December 5th and December 6th. Part of the day for December 6th, because it is up in New Jersey and I have to come back home. So there will be times when I have really no choice but to miss games for the Caps when it comes to covering them for this podcast. And my goal is to still do the best that I can do to convey my thoughts on the team. I watch the highlights and stuff like that so I can get an idea of how things looked throughout the game. So, you know, right now I'm going to be going into a very busy period. Obviously, today's Halloween. I'm going to be watching the Caps game tonight after I do some trick-or-treating. You know, got to have some fun with the Halloween. Then not only that, but, you know, next week, you know, I'm going to supposed to be recording a special episode of MBM Wrestling. But I'm going to make sure that it does not conflict with any of the Caps games this upcoming week. And then the following weekend, I'm traveling out to Joppa, Maryland with Ben and Mansa for MCW, because we're doing another MBM special that week at Maryland Championship Wrestling. And then the following weekend, I'm going to be in, like I said, Richmond, Virginia for VA Comic-Con. And then Thanksgiving weekend the next weekend, and the weekend after that is DerbyCon. So, as you can tell, the weekends are going to be very hard for me to cover, watch games. Not only that, but with me being out of town, the recording format for this podcast will be slightly different for maybe the next month. After DerpyCon, things will go back to normal. So I'm going to say is it's going to be a really interesting stretch these like next 4 to 5 weeks. Bear with me. I'm going to try to give you all my best 110%. And as for recording more episodes at Tilda Kilt, that is going to happen. It'll most likely start happening again in December, after I do the two conventions, the MCW, and stuff like that. And with that, I want to say thank you for listening to today's episode of the Experience Hockey Talk. I'm Michael Lindenbaum. You can follow the podcast on at Experience Hockey, XPERIENCE Hockey, or on Facebook at facebook.com/experiencehockeytalk. I want to thank again my sponsor, the Tilda Kilt in Frederick, Maryland. Tilda Kilt Pub and Eatery, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilted Kilt Girls, who today on Halloween will be dressed up in their Halloween costumes and will be screening the Washington Capitals play the Florida Panthers tonight. For more information on the Tilted Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today or on Twitter at Tilted Frederick. And with that, I want to say thanks for listening, and next time, I'll see you on the ice.